Hi, welcome to another of our Coffee Time Chats, a more laid-back, feet-up discussion. Today we're joined by Javier Delgado of Mirai. In this discussion, we touch on a number of topics, starting with a positive mood of hope and optimism that travel will return, whilst also realising that hotels can be a little short-sighted and have short memories. We touch on the topic of direct bookings and OTAs, how their respective budgets are handled differently, and the negative impact this can have to hotels. Finally, we ask, will hoteliers just revert back to type once things start normalising? How will they cope once the cookieless world finally arrives sometime in 2022? And how the phrase adapt or perish is more pertinent now than ever? Really hope you enjoy the discussion. Let's get started. Hi, Javier. Good to see you. Thank you for joining us today. How are you? You well?
I'm very well. Thank you, Trevor, for having me. It's a pleasure.
You're welcome. Great to have you here because we have done a number of videos in the past, but we've done that with Pablo Delgado, and now we have Javier Delgado. So I'm guessing there's no direct relationship, probably way back, possibly somewhere. But you've recently joined Mirai, haven't you?
Correct. I joined Mirai about 4 months ago now. And Pablo and myself, we are very good friends. We've known each other for, you know, over a decade, but we're not related. We just carry the same family name.
Very, very good. So what I thought would be useful, I mean, this is just one of our, what we call our coffee time chat. So we're going to touch on just really about getting your perspective. You've got a really interesting background. And we thought it would be really, really interesting to just talk a little bit more generally as we're getting to the end of this year and looking into next year. What do you see are maybe some of the pressures, challenges, you know, trends that may be occurring? And so what's probably useful is to, in terms of positioning this for people listening and watching, is probably to get an idea and just to understand who you are and what your background is. So if you could just introduce yourself, that would be great.
Sure. So as you rightly said, my name is Javier. I joined Mirai about 4 months ago as managing partner and CEO for Europe, Middle East and Africa. Pablo left to the US a few years back and he's handling the Americas based out of Miami. Mm-hmm. So I've been in the travel industry since the late 90s. I started in airlines in 1998 or 99. I cannot remember. And ever since, I've been always related to the travel industry. It is true, though, that after a few years in airlines and tour operators, I obtained an MBA degree. And since then, so in 2003, I joined Expedia, mm-hmm. where I spent about 8 years in different capacities, most of them around supply positions, lodging supply and air supply in different parts of Europe. After that, I managed air capacity for Expedia, meaning air supply. And after a short stint in white label distribution with Expedia, I moved on to Google, where I spent 7 years in different roles, always related to travel. Mm-hmm. So selling technology to travel companies of different kinds. After that, I joined a family-owned company, a pretty sizable hotel chain, number two in Spain, called Iberostar Hotels and Resorts, where I was responsible for all of the digital operations and the commercial operations, which meant, you know, handling a big amount of rooms, 35,000 rooms in about 25 countries, 1.5 billion euros in revenue, a sizable operation. And after those 3 years, due to personal circumstances, I had to relocate to Madrid and I decided to join the great Mirai.
Excellent. So Expedia, Google, Hotel Group, that provides a really interesting background and perspective on what
different
is
angles,
currently
yes.
going yeah. on in the world at the moment from a hotel.
Especially in these last 20 yeah. plus years, because yeah, many yeah. things have changed, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I guess what we want to do, I mean, really just sort of throwing this open, what are your... Maybe two angles to this question. You know, what do you think are some of the, touching on some of the issues that we've all experienced over the last 18 months with obviously the pandemic, but what are you looking forward? What do you think are maybe some of the mistakes that hoteliers could make? What are some of the, short-term decisions or trends. You know, I'd like to just sort of explore and dig into, get into your head and that experience and see what you're thinking. What would be sort of number one at the top of your head that if you were talking as a mirror to your clients and prospect clients, what would be one of the messages you'd be giving them going forward?
Well, the first message and probably the strongest one is a tremendous sense of hope. I think there's going to be probably a beautiful decade in front of us, with booming business all over the world, probably, and more in the Mediterranean area.
Yeah.
So hope is a big sense and probably the biggest feeling that comes to my mind. And also within that hope and the new business that is coming back, I think direct sales are going to have a lot to say. We saw that during the pandemic, that direct sales is definitely something that can be accomplished and something that can be very profitable for hotels if it's done properly. Mm-hmm. Now, the second thought that comes to my mind is probably the I love hotels. I've been a hotelier myself until very recently, and now I run a company that helps hotels sell more and be more profitable. But basically, hotels sometimes are very short-sighted. And they might fall into the same pitfalls they've fallen in the past. And we've seen this with every crisis in the last 20 plus years. So I joined Expedia, very big company. At the time, it was pretty small.
Yep.
But then it grew to one of the main players in distribution. And it grew in the back of 9/11, which was a very dramatic circumstance,
Absolutely.
Of different nature, different kind, but similar to the pandemic we're living now, even though the pandemic has been much, much dramatic.
Yeah.
But without getting into the politics and the medical perspective of that, it really has shaken the industry. And we saw OTAs back after 9/11 really take off because demand was very scarce and there was an oversupply everywhere, so they could somehow dictate terms because no one was traveling and they were able to capture those travelers that were willing to travel at the time, and they built an empire on top of that. You know, I'm oversimplifying things, but point is, whenever there is a big crisis, demand is very scarce, supply is abundant, and as a result, the players that are closer to the final consumer and who can better harness that traffic, that demand, that sense of willing to travel, they are in the long side of the stick, to put it that way.
Yeah.
So we could see that coming again, right? Because hotels in many cases are, small companies and not professionally run or not run with, with big operators behind. And that means making it to the end of the month and paying the payroll and servicing the debt and all the different things that need to happen in every company. So the easy solution sometimes is to over-commission a certain player, give away or lose control of your inventory just to make it to the end of that month.
Yes,
and that's going to compromise your overall operation down the line. So that's a big, risk.
Well, then you keep living hand to mouth, really, in that sense, don't you?
In a way, yes. I mean, I think hotels need to really think. They really need to take a long view on how they want to manage their business and their inventory, understand what are the levers that are really going to bring the profitability and the independence. Mm-hmm. We've seen that dependency is a big problem. We've seen it especially around the Mediterranean destinations with the fall of Thomas Cook, before the crisis. Thomas Cook fell September 19th, 2019. I remember day very well. the company I was working with, it was our main partner at the time. So we're talking about a big operation. I remember that day very well. And then a few months later, we saw the pandemic. So all those hotels that didn't really have a diversified sales strategy have suffered much more than those that do have a diversified sales strategy. And having a strategy also means having the right technology and putting the money where your mouth is and doing the right investments and so forth.
And that's that last point you make around having the money and putting the money in the right place. From your experience, obviously most recent working in a hotel group, but then also on the other side working in the OTAs. Do you see hotels approaching the way that they budget for say direct distribution and then budgeting for OTAs? Do they treat them one and the same? Because if you're developing a strategy, then in a way your budgets, I would think, need to reflect that, wouldn't they?
It should, absolutely, yes, is the answer to your last question. But to your first question, the answer is absolutely no. Hotels, interestingly enough, in 2022, you know, we're about a month away from the next year.
Yeah.
I still get this wrong. I call it the CFO dilemma.
Right.
And it's really flabbergasting. You know, you as a hotelier, you keep on paying the commissions to the OTA and you never close sales until you have a last room available. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's the norm, I would say.
Yeah.
On the other hand, in general terms, many, many hotels and even chains, they have a fixed budget for direct sales, which means whenever they exhaust that last dollar, euro, whatever it is,
yeah,
they stop selling or they need to look for more internal funding to continue investing into their direct sales, which means the strategy is asymmetrical and they are not providing the same ability to sell to the direct channel versus the intermediaries. And it's a budget game in many cases because the CFO never asks how much are we going to pay Booking or Expedia at the end of the year, you know?
Yeah.
They keep on selling and they, you know, we keep on getting their invoices. You know, I'm exaggerating, but that's the way it works. On the other hand, the B2C director or manager or that team normally has constrained budgets and they need to continuously report how much they're spending instead of having a fixed CPA, like the customer acquisition cost for that channel, which would be, you know, the most logical thing to do. I've discussed this, interestingly enough, at Expedia, at Google. I've run this direct sales for Iberostar. Was a big chunk of their sales and we were not constrained, but it took us, you know, months, technology, processes, people to really tweak things to be able to manage direct sales in that way. And here at Mirai, we still say it every single day that many hotels are losing opportunity because they don't have the sufficient flexibility and especially the mindset. It's all a matter of mindset. If you get the right mindset, then you'll fix everything else.
What I wanted to pick up on in terms of just your last comment there about people in a way always doing what they've done before. And I'm just interested in your thoughts that we tend to live by habits and routines. That's how we function in our chaotic world.
It's humankind, yes.
Yeah. And I've always had this slight question mark in my mind that we talk about 18 months of being in the pandemic, but I believe when we first went into it, people thought it would only last maybe 6 months or so and just had to get through summer of last year, get into September, October of last year, and things would start to return. So I think it's really started to hit hard that maybe during 2021, people have realized this is here to stay. We've got to learn to manage it. But I wonder, has that been long enough so that if all the predictions are right and we start in 2022 to get back to some sort of normal and 2023, we start to see the KPIs and the metrics that we judge, will that 1 year of difficulty be enough to change all of the habits that we know should change? Or will in 2023 we just revert back to type and go back to how our old processes used to work and, you know, measure in the same way that we always used to measure? Do we think there will be enough of a change?
It's a great question, very tough question to answer, Trevor. But I'll give you my best shot. Many things will come back as they were, mm-hmm. fortunately or unfortunately. So the thirst to travel, the willingness to travel, you know, that's hopefully going to come back. And that's good because it means that there will be demand for all of us to recover.
Absolutely.
Now, it's been 20 months now. We keep on saying 18, but it's 20.
Okay.
So we have to be careful because, you know, time is passing by very quickly. Now, to your question, I think many people will quickly forget the dirty tricks that some intermediaries played on them. I'm talking about hotels specifically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they will be rolling the red carpets to the Expedias and the Bookings of the world and, you know, serving champagne to the contractors that they send to their hotels. I've been there. I've drank the champagne and ate the lobster. So I can speak to that. And there's nothing wrong with it. These companies are great companies and they bring a lot of value. I'm just, you know, maybe characterizing a bit, exaggerating the point. Many companies, on the other hand, have realized that selling direct is possible and that many different models came up, like CPL. So instead of CPCs, having commission per reservation, commission per stay even, which reduces the risk greatly. And also, many people have really awakened, you know, maybe many people woke up and smelled the coffee and they realized that there was a lot to be done within direct sales, and they really took the bull by the horns and they started investing, you know, and getting ready for the comeback of the for the business comeback. Mm-hmm. Now, with that said, we've seen a great summer in some destinations in the Mediterranean region. Actually, record numbers for Mirai in July, August, September, and October. Okay. November looking pretty good. Okay. And Q1, as we move, you know, to H1 next year, the numbers look pretty strong, but I wouldn't say pretty solid. It's a bit of a house of cards. You know, any simple, you know, a very small breeze of air can make the whole house of cards collapse. And that's not a good place to be in. We need solid figures and solid demand. At the end of the day, it's a matter of demand. And, and the feeling, the sentiment in the market is what we need. Now, at the same time, there's a big change taking place, which is the disappearance of cookies. Okay. Cookies, you know, from it, without getting too technical, but basically it's the way that digital marketing has been managed or handled for the last 15 years or so, which basically you put a piece of code, right, a pin onto someone that has visited your site because they accept the cookies. They don't really know what they're doing, but they are saying, you know, I'm happy to be pinned by you, Mr. Web. Yep. And then you can follow and track that user and understand what they do and what they don't do on the web. And based on that, you can derive and learn many things. But that's going to disappear overnight.
And when does that, because I know that that was due to be happening and then it's kind of
exactly
and,
so that's the thing, it should have happened already, but it keeps on getting delayed for different reasons of that we're not going to get into, but eventually it will happen.
Yeah,
we don't know if it's going to be in Q1 2022 or in Q4 2022, but I believe sometime in 2022 these cookies are going to be gone forever.
Okay,
that means that many hotels that were they're not even ready for the cookie world, are not ready for the cookie world today. Are going to be exactly. They're going to be found offside, completely offside, in this game. Now that means that players like the big platforms, the Facebook, the Googles of the world, even the Microsofts of the world, are going to be more powerful because they're going to have more knowledge about the audiences. Mm-hmm. The audiences at the end is the demand, the market, the people that are behind, you know, the eyeballs behind the screens. So hotels really need to have, first of all, understand what this means, understand what it entails, understand how it's going to affect them and their strategies, and have a plan to survive and overcome this situation. So when you look at, you know, the virus, which is not has not really gone, we're seeing, unfortunately, curves going up in Central Europe and Eastern Europe. Northern America seems to be under control, but, you know, without the stability. Latin America is a whole different story. We don't really know what's happening in Asia Pacific. So it's pretty unstable yet. And then we've got these tectonic changes like the cookies coming sometime next year, meaning it's the perfect storm for uncertainty. So what's going to happen? You know, I'm a positive person and I think the market is positive. As you said, in 2020, people were thinking, you know, this is going to be a matter of a few weeks, a few months, and then everything will be back to normal. Now we're 20 months into the storm and we still don't see the shore on the other side. So who knows? I hope for the best, but we should plan for the worst.
Always a good strategy. And I guess in amongst, to add another variable into that, or another, maybe the word uncertainty is the wrong word, but how much is, I mean, consumer behavior is changing or has been changing as well, isn't it? So, I mean, back to the point of operating as we always did, not only are there technological changes, geopolitical changes, regulations and COVID related changes, we've now got the consumer behavior is also changing as a byproduct of this. So I mean, where do you see that having an impact?
Well, all over. I mean, we've seen that the traditional customer journey, it's gone, and I think it's gone forever, or a good part of it is gone forever. If we take, you know, we are in Europe now, if we take some of the traditional patterns you would see from the Nordics, you know, the Swedes, the Norwegians, and or even you go to Germany, the Central European countries, they had very clear patterns and they would book at the beginning of the year, you know, sometimes with 20 weeks lead time.
Okay.
Yeah. And they would pay deposits. And there was a whole culture and a whole dynamic built around this consumer behavior. Mm-hmm. That's gone. Some of the big tour operators are gone forever, like Thomas Cook.
Yep.
Some others, you know, big players like TUI are in dire straits. Let's hope that they make it out because, you know, they're a big player and we need those players in the Mediterranean and all over the world. But there's a big question mark, you know, the governments are pouring money into them to keep them alive, which means they're not viable by themselves in extreme circumstances. Also, the users are no longer accepting prepayments or deposits. Everything needs to be refundable. Yeah. The booking windows have gone, you know, off a cliff. We see pickups happening in J-15, so the last 15 days or even the last 7 days. And even with those behaviors, we see record numbers in the summer, which means, you know, the books and the compasses we had in the past are no longer valid. So we need to go into the market with a clean slate, with a fresh mind, question everything that we did in the past, and it's going to be harder. It's going to be tougher to make less money. So it's going to be tougher than before, and we'll be making less money. This is something I was discussing with a colleague the other day. They were saying they are part of a technology company, and they said, you know, we are sweating like hell to make half the margin we were making 5 years ago. Yeah. And I think that's a good way of looking at what's coming. So everyone needs to be smarter. We need to get smarter. We need to get faster. We need to be closer to the consumer who has changed dramatically their behavior. And that's the only way to survive. Whomever does not adapt to that the new environment, it's going to have a tough time.
Yeah, that's that's a sobering thought. But I think this is
let's address it. Yeah. You know, we have to be hopeful and positive, but we also need to be conscious that we need to change, and we need to change fast.
But I think, as you say, you know, there's a lot to start planning for, and the planning has to start now. Travel will come back, which is your sense of hope. But if we expect to go back to doing the things we always did before, or if we behave in the way that we did before, it's only going to be tougher. So I think there's a bit of scope there for us to explore with you guys during the course of 2022 and to dig into some of these areas in much more detail. So look, it's been really great. I'm conscious of your time. I'm conscious it's a really busy period for you. So I really appreciate you carving out some time to join us today. So thanks so much for being part of our chat today.
It's been my pleasure, Trevor, and we'll be happy to join again for coffee time or wine time, whatever you want, sometime later this year, early next year, to see how things are, how the agenda is unfolding, because it's going to be an interesting one.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Thank you so much. You take care.
Thank you very much. Bye now.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Javier for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. We value your input, and we're happy to follow up with our guests. Also, if there are any topics that particularly interest you, or if there are any specific guests you would like to hear from, please do let us know. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. That's insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel. The link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you would consider subscribing. It really helps out the channel, which helps us to help others. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.